April the 1st, 2021, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before going into our subject this evening, we have two announcements. We are asking every believer, every person, to make a prayer for my niece, Kelly Owens. She's in intensive care. Ask God to bless her, to recover from her illness. Also, it's my father's birthday. William Hart Bey, a giant of a man. I pray to Allah will bless him with a high place in paradise. He brought my family from slave parents to Al-Islam. So may Allah bless him and have mercy on him and bless him with a high place in paradise. So Khalifa is for everyone in the essence of pristine nature. We're continuing from yesterday. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to us that all of us in our essence, all of us in our pristine nature, in our original capacity, all of us have potential to be his Khalifa on this earth. There are learned Muslims that I have met from different parts of the world, particularly from Pakistan, India, and Palestinian, hinting very strongly to me by or from a Saudi and an Egyptian that maybe Allah is making a Khalifa in America. I've had some Asians come up to me and even told me. And I told them the same thing I told you all. The Khalifa is not meant to be one man. We all are Khalifas. And if we have someone who qualifies to be the leader for us all, then that person should simply be called leader for that group or the imam, but not Khalifa. That term is reserved because it is a property of the common person. It is the inheritance of the common person. And if you make it the title for your leader, you take the common person's mind off of it as their inheritance. They told me that, and I witnessed inside they were telling the truth. The Khalifa is being made in America. So the biggest job of light is containing the life. So when light comes, it doesn't only show you where you can go, but light makes you feel better. Light is revealing. Darkness is burdensome, especially when you want to do things. That's why God says he made the darkness to oppress and made the light to liberate. If light conditions us, as well as clear the environment so we can see where to go and how to go about it. What is this conditioning? And I was about to say, the conditioning is that it makes you feel better and it makes you less burdensome. It makes you more prepared to act or to move to do things you have to do. It elevates you. That's why the light is also called the light. It elevates you. It makes you feel more alive, more active. You've got more energy to go now. And it actually energizes you. Light energizes the spirit, just like the physical electricity energizes whatever is sent into, right? So the light energizes the spirit. And it also comforts, gives comfort, because with light comes warmth too. So the same light that gives us life also gives us warmth. The sun, the original light, the biggest light we have, the one that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hung up in the ceiling. And when it is hung up there, all other lights lose their attention. They are not on stage anymore. They still exist, but they have no stage anymore. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hangs that big sun up there in the daytime. So the sun, what is the role of that light? And this is the light that we should be comparing the light of revelation with. Sun and light. The sun and the light is a sign, a metaphor in our world pointing us to really the true light, which is the light of revelation, the light of enlightenment, divine enlightenment. It is a sign of that. So let's look at the sun as a symbol now, as a sign of the real thing. So this sun does not only clear the environment for us to see things and approach them more safely and manage them more safely, etc. All this. But it also energizes us. It contributes to the happier days for us. Oh, look, how bright. Isn't this a beautiful, bright day? The sun, symbol of happiness. I've heard men of wisdom in ancient scriptures say that originally the sun was not a symbol of light. Though it was the light, they say it was a symbol of happiness. The light, the sun comes up, then happiness. The light of the sun meant happiness. The influence was happiness. So this is what it's meant to ancient people. I am told, and I believe it. I believe it, and I also did some research. I believe that in ancient times, they saw it mainly as a symbol of happiness, not just light. So we know that that is the element behind all other developments. The sun influences weather more so than anything else. The sun acts upon the earth, acting upon the environment, maybe not directly all the time, but the sun in its role influences weather more than anything else. It is the force behind all weather, cold, heat, cold and hot, rain and snow, sleet, everything, tides. So we say the moon controls the tide. That's what they say. The moon has no light of its own. The moon has no phases without the sun. Its phases are caused by the sun and its path and its relationship to the earth and their path around the sun. So this is how we have to explain it. So we explain whatever happens to the moon, whatever happens to the earth, if we explain it, we have to go to the sun to explain it. Haman, Mesnun, warm soil. Earth, the womb for all life. Haman, Husnu, Husmus, Humus, from dying and decaying soul. Now, plants grow not really because of rain. It is an additive. Plants grow because of the sun on the earth. The earth is the womb. The earth has the germ. But the sun must feed it. Now, before even there was germ in the earth, there was the sun. And the sun in time made the germ for production. Scientific thinkers. I am sure you just instantly, you see it all. Because we know before there was animal life, plant life, then animal life, and a lot of dying and decaying finally made human soil. So that's how human soil came into existence. And now from human soil, we get all of the great products of production. Things coming up and dying, death building up the soil, things coming up and dying, death building up the soil is what has made it possible for us to have the richness of soil. Humus, that's what we have now. God made his man from what? Humus, not just soil. Humus, humane masnoon. He made his man from human masnoon. He made his man from rich soil, fertile soil. And the expression hemis is for the people of that time. In their language, hemis means warm. So you got a lot of life and a lot of fertility in the soil. And it's hotter than the soil without fertility. So you who work with soil, you know, you put your hand in rich soil and feel it, then put it in sand is cooler. So the more fertile soil is warmer, mesnoon is a play on. It might be offensive to your smell. So some translators says it's from stinky mud. They translated from stinky mud. That's not an exact translation. That's not a perfect translation. There is nothing there that says stinky, but it just says that it's warm. It has heat. And it is something that you might despise. But out of that come the possibility for your life and your future. So what built up all of that humus for the life to be created out of the sun. And the sun appears to ancient man to rise up, really, from the bowels of the earth. You see, ancient man was not scientific, so he did know where the sun was coming up from. The only thing he saw was it was coming up. So when he was out at sea, It looked like it's dripping some of its fire back into the water. So he thought it was coming out of the water. If he was at sea or if he was on an ocean, then the ocean was the east. When it rolled out of the ocean, he thought the sun was actually rising up out of the water. And it appeared actually to be dripping some of its fire back into the water. I've seen it. It doesn't come up clean and clear. I mean clear of the water. So when it rises up, you see beneath the sun, the illusion of the sun looks like it's dripping some of its fire down into the water as it's coming up. So God has made the rising of the sun on ocean front or lake front or things like that to appear the man as actually it is coming up out of the water. And if the land is open, it appears that it is coming up out of the earth itself. That's the sun. It's actually coming up out of the earth. If the land is not open like our city land, it looks like it's just flying across the sky. In any explanation, without science, it is a spooky thing, isn't it? Only science took the spook out of it. So we know now that it is just an inanimate body of fire, of burning material. We know that now. But ancient man didn't. He did not. He was in the Thulumat, the oppressive darkness, and he was being formed. And God formed him to believe that God is doing this. And this is a sign to me that I have to read. So what? How shall I read this, my Lord? He doesn't know his Lord. He doesn't know science either. But he believes in his Lord. He knows that something did it all. How am I to read this, my Lord? He finally come to read it as God intended for him to read it. That's the potential of the sun rising up out of the earth. That's the potential of the sun coming up out of the earth to light the earth. Now, look at your earth, your body. He also made a sun to rise in your body, in the dead matter of your body. And once your potential rises up and frees itself from the bowels of your earth, your personal body, it will light your world. Yes. It was a sign that God gave ancient man. And then the language become confused in time, and they take the sun to be God. I may say then that the Khalifa can be metaphorically depicted as the sun, couldn't it? The Khalifa, not the S-O-N, the S-U-N. We must come to understand religion, the life history of religion, because when we are talking about religion today, we are talking about religion in a completely new picture or a new focus or a view from that man had before, what we call the traditional or classical prophets of God. You know, we talk about Adam. We have history, man's history bears witness to certain developments in the life of the religious people. And we can go back to a time when religion for man was what the modern world came to call heathenism, paganism, idol worship. So religion of early man was not corrupt. Paganism, idolatry, declined in religion. So I believe that what we call paganism, heathenism, idol worship, I believe that this represents a decline in religion. I believe that originally man did have what we may call, for want of a better term, primitive religion. But his primitive religion was not a corrupt thing like we find in much of paganism or heathenism. I believe that his religion was the best that could come about in his time in human conditions and circumstances. And I believe that he saw, as we just explained earlier, things in the environment as messengers themselves of the God behind it all. He saw trees. He saw these things as messengers, the sun as a messenger, giving him a message, the trees, or the particular tree that attracted him, his attention more than others, as a messenger giving him a message. Khalifa is sun. Now, it is interesting to me to note that in some language, S-U-N, the sun, outside, is nature, natural, or of nature gender. In some languages is masculine. In some languages is feminine. Now, if my reasoning that I established earlier is correct, that the sun may be used as a sign or a symbol of Khalifa, the potential that is in us, that once it's freed or released, it becomes the light of our world. So if I'm right, correct in that, then look how well this language problem supports what I'm saying. They can't give a gender to the son. One language says that it is a she. Another language says it is a he. Another language says it's neutral. So the potential and our potential, we are both male and female. Women, not the cause of the downfall of man. Isn't this the same problem we have with our own selves? This sex problem we have? We can't decide whether we should be men or women, females or males, or unisex, or what? But in our potential, we are both. And the best ruler, as I said earlier, he must have both in him. The sensitivity of both in him in order to be a good ruler. Now, that takes a lot of the macho out of the man, doesn't it? Well, look at your body. If you are a normal man, come up naturally and normally, that's right, the right muscle is a little stronger than that left one. So you have a male side and a female side. Brain stronger, intellectual on so-called left, weaker body side. So actually you have a female side and a male side. But the scientist says most of your best help for your intellect comes from this left side and not from the right side. Isn't that what they say? So the weaker side physically is the strongest side when it comes to intellectual integrity. And you now is the beginning of the intellect for Adam. Didn't come until he had a wife. I'm talking straight, man. Actual facts of history, of language, of scripture, etc. He didn't even know he had eyes until he got a wife, you say. Oh, but that wife caused him to lose his sight. No, he just had to have a night in which to rest so he could wake up and have more energy for another day. And a better day, because each time he went to sleep, when he woke up better, more prepared for the day, better prepared for the day. And in Islam, the wife wasn't the cause of it. The wife isn't a partner with the serpent in Islam. The serpent is acting by himself. And he, the serpent, is deceiving both male and the female. He is causing the problem for both of them. And the woman is not helping him. She is not his partner in Islam. Understand that, Baptist brothers, who is teaching Islam now. Man, two stages, natural possibility, then revelation. Now, the point that I want to make here is this, that religion has taken man two stages. Religion for man in the first stage was man in the hand of God that represented the natural possibilities before revelation. Religion for us began with Adam, the first man. And the first man, what it means, the beginning of the strain and the intellect for enlightenment. So actually, the beginning for us, the beginning of revealed religion, revealed to Adam. God revealed to Adam. Adam, man of human nature, not sin. He fell to learn not to commit bigger obstacles in the future. So God revealed to Adam because God said, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, that means the gift of inspiration, divine inspiration, revelation. And God said, and he comes upon a word, and he repented. So the word was the word of revelation, and he repented for his wrong. And God accepted his repentance. So Adam is not the man of sin, he is the man of human nature. So he is capable of making errors. He is capable of sinning. But that's what God created him for. God created him to learn by experience and to grow by experience, to not repeat the mistakes he makes, but to learn from them so he doesn't make them in the future and be prepared to perhaps to avoid even bigger obstacles in the future, because he already met with the smaller ones that alerted him better or alerted him more. So we see it as a learning process, what they call the weakness in man. We see it as a component of his strength. If he didn't have also the capacity to err along with the capacity to want to be perfect, we wouldn't progress. So angels, one capacity is to be perfect, not to err. So the angel have one capacity, the capacity to perfect. They don't have the capacity to err, to make errors, but it wasn't the angel that God said. He put a degree over man. It was he, Khalifa, that he said. He made a degree over the angels. I wouldn't exchange this human nature for anything in creation. Nothing on earth or in heaven. I know that might disappoint you. It is not in my nature to want to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the biggest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best, everything. But it is not in my nature to want to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most attractive place for me in the place of human life and possibility, human life and human possibility, that's the most attractive place for me. It is not in my nature. Fool in revealed wisdom wants to be God. Now that I understand God in the world, it is not in my nature to even want to approach in any small degree. Means also that you are supposed to monitor the state, and you see the state not pleased or unrest, it should make you question what you are doing. And they will be a signal to you to get back on the right track or to come away from something you've gotten involved in, etc. So this is how it works, the whole, all important parts work together for the success of the whole. And this is a true democracy. So when all of the people are included in the shipping and the promoting or the directing of the interest of the community, that makes for a true democracy. As a philosopher, we may go a little bit further with this idea now and say that even though, because philosophically thoughts, it doesn't only act or make conclusions upon what it established, but it makes conclusions upon what is even alluded to or what is possible, maybe even though it be in the hereafter, maybe that far away. Now, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even thought he favored just a few of us to realize so much of that capacity and that potential that he has given us, that we are able to rise to the top. He has deposited that in every single one of us, every single one of us have it. We have it, or he or she has it. Now the idea for the society then must acknowledge that. So in the idea, the social idea or the political idea, whatever we want to call it, that we have to give our senses or our perception of our society how it should operate. That language should also say that each person, male and female, though they don't express or manifest the ability that God deposited in every human being, the law, the land, the authority of this land, the law, the community, the authority of this community recognize each and every person as being equal to the top person in the society based upon what God intended for you. You are equal. So I'm not to see any person, male or female, no matter how less learned they are than I am, or no matter how bad their behavior is, I'm not to see them as an animal or as a beast of burden that I'm to take and put all the physical burden on, make them do all the dirty things, take the broom, sweep. I'm supposed to be worried about his state. And I'm supposed to be coming up with ideas to reach his intellect, to turn his intellect on. So we never give up on any member of our society. The right of every member is the same right that each of us may claim. So we are to treat them with respect. And if we see them in a bad condition, we are not to put them in an oppressive situation where they can never come out of it, where they think that God intended for them to do nothing but sweep up the trash at the end of the day, or wash the pots, the pans at the end of the day. We are supposed to be hurt by that, brothers, situation, by him being locked into a groove or a pattern like that. It should hurt us. And we should be trying to reach his intellect to let him know that greater things await you, brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means more, much more than this for you. We should have this kind of compassion on the people. And if we have that kind of appreciation for each individual person on an equal level with the best of us, and we have the interest in freeing them from greater possibilities in their life, then we are really doing the job of Khalifa. We are really doing the job of Khalifa. The community interest is bigger than the individual interest. The individual possibilities work with the community or with the environment, and the community to bring the environment and the community to its better future. But the individual can't do it alone. The individual can't do any, the individual can't go anywhere without community interest. Because the community interest is the second component. It's individuals' interest that's the number one component in the individual interest. Inherently are the community possibilities in the individual himself. So he has inherent natural, but in him by his creator, put in him by his creator, the possibility for the community future. So individual like a seed. So he is like a seed, and the seed has to be planted in the field. The field must be the environment or the context for his future possibility. So if we don't alert him and awaken him or place him in community interest, he has not much of a future. So we have to do two things. We have to, as clear as we possibly can, perceive the individual as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for him to be perceived in his concept, and then perceive the community interest as best we can based upon Quran and the life of our prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. Conceive the interest and then bring the two to be reconciled. Say, brother, you are a possibility for great things. You really are the future of the earth in seed form. But the seed must be placed in the earth, and the earth will feed your seed. So the sun gives spirit to that seed, gives spirit to it, spirit for it, energizes it, and also supplies it with another form of energy. They call it chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is green, isn't it? Green. Growth. That's what green is. Growth. And we know that, that this is the way the trees grow. By the sun having a chemical effect on the leaves. And the leaves feeding the tree and the roots. The roots take up water and also carbon. So the tree is mostly carbon, isn't it? So the body is mostly carbon. So that carbon is mostly coming from the leaf. If I'm correct, if I remember my science correctly, it comes from that chemical process that produces by the sun's effect on the leaves that make them green, but also make them take in energy. Also, the chlorophyll enables them to take on it, to bring about the process of changing that energy to carbon, the wood. Photosynthesis, that's what they call it, a big word. That's how the tree grows, not just from the root, but also from the leaves. So the leaves breathe and receive energy from the sun. So they are talking, they are taking in the air, carbon dioxide is taken in and also feeding from the sunlight by the process of photosynthesis. And that's how the tree is able to get that big body, big, strong body. All plants must have leaves or some shoots to come out that will receive from the sun, right? If they don't, they can't grow. So you know the mushroom grows in the dark. But it looks like it's a womb baby to me. It doesn't look like a baby out of the womb to me. It looks like a womb baby to me. I don't want to be a mushroom, I'll tell you that. Now, in perceiving the society, the interests of the society, it's very simple. What is the interest of our society? The interest is to perceive ourselves first as social creatures. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over and over again that he made us as plants, plants also have male and female. They germinate and they grow together. That's how they grow best. When you put certain grass to itself and keep other grasses out, that grass thrives best. So man is a social creature. And the spirit of the Quran is what? The spirit of the Quran is a social inspiration. It feeds our social aspiration. So this word social is bigger than we think it is. By social, we don't mean just associating with each other physically, but our dependency on each other as members of a world society. We want to keep the focus on the Muslim community right now. As members of the Muslim community, our dependency on each other brings us together, and our love for each other brings us together. So here we have love for each other that brings us together, and a dependency on each other that brings us together. So pretty soon we find that the teacher of the school has to be tied up full time in doing that. But there is also a need to have business growing in the community. So there is a business person feeding business, the social content, in terms of people keeping expanding with growth. And as it grows, there is more demand for more things to take care of the needs of its growing people. He can have the regulation of the home and the parent. He can have the regulation of the family and the parent. He can have the regulation of the morals in the parent, the discipline, the law, that discipline, the family can be in the parent. Everything. Everything can be in the parent. That's a small unit. And he can manage that. But when it extends and evolves hundreds of families, he can't manage that. If there's nobody but him, his family, he can go out, take his son out with him, children with him, go out and plow the field and regulate his own food. He doesn't need anybody to regulate the economy for him. He can handle that, but when they multiply in a social unit, it's a social unit that is getting bigger. The social unit gets bigger and brings in demand for industry, for more sophisticated government, more complex government, ideas, and everything else we can think of. So there is not one other single influence responsible for the growth and development of society other than the social principle or the social influence. So the Quran Surah 68, Ayat 4, Prophet, is on the exalted character. The Quran Surah 22, Ayat 78, Father Abraham named you Muslim before. El-Hadith. Page 117, 9W. Believe or not, if neighbor is hungry. So life begins with concern, then intent. As I previously stated, man can have nothing without striving for it. We must also understand that matter are judged by intent. If the intent is good, then God will reward you with good. You can also do something that is good with a bad intent, and God will give you the benefit of your intention. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, actions are judged by intentions, and every man shall have but that which he intended. Thus, he who migrates for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, his migration was for Allah and his messenger. And he who migrated was to achieve some worldly benefit or to take some woman in marriage. His migration was for that for which he migrated. So before there can be any intuitive endeavors on the part of our soul, there must first be concern. If you have no concern, you are without life. Life begins with concerns. You can tell the extent of death in a people by looking at the amount of concern they have. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, also said, if you cannot be a believer until your concerns agree with what I have brought. So if you want to be a believer, your concern should be in accord with what God gave Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, which is the Quran. The concern of Muslims must first be Quranic or Islamic concerns. That is what makes us Muslims. Many who profess this religion in America wonder, why is it that I don't feel that I am being a Muslim? You feel this way because you don't know Quranic concern. You mean well, and you want to be a Muslim, but without knowledge of Quranic concern, you will continue to feel this way. Quran has knowledge for the proper operation of human society. So the way you come to know Quranic concern is to come out and hear the imam teach Quranic concerns. And you should do it regularly, and not just when you feel like it. You should also study Quran on your own when you are at home. when in travel, etc. The Quran is knowledge that has come for the proper operation of human society. So if knowledge comes for the operation of something, you need more than just the knowledge. You also need a demonstration. So if you purchase a new machine, you want more than just a manual of how it operates. You also want a demonstration, depending on how technical or how evolved the thing is. People can only do so much on their own. Some things can be so complex that a demonstration is required before you can be given a manual. In the case of revelation of God, we saw a demonstration before we saw the revelation. The Quran revealed first the demonstrator, Muhammad. God tells us in the Quran of Prophet Muhammad, character, and you stand on an exalted standard of character. We saw in Prophet Muhammad's prayers and the peace be upon him the excellent life that God wanted for man. When God revealed the Quran, it wasn't revealed to the people. It came first into the demonstrator. And when he recited it, he was also demonstrating it. So the demonstrator was there with the word. So the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, cannot be separated from the Quran. In order to benefit from the Quran as God intended you, you must see the demonstration, the practices, and examples, sunnah of the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. So we should understand that when we take the Kalima, declaration of the unity of Allah, and the fact that Prophet Muhammad is his messenger, prayers and the peace be upon him, we cannot say, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, la ilaha, and think, okay, I'm a Muslim. That is only part of the Kalima. To complete it, you must say, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger. Prayers and the peace be upon him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illahu Muhammadin Rasulullah. Now that is a shaheed. A shaheed means to witness. How do I witness this? How do I witness that there is but one God? How do I witness that if there is 200 or 300 people in a place, I witness it upon seeing them. It registers on my own senses. Many people hear the message of Al-Islam, the call to the path of God, yet some hear it and don't hear it. And they say, yes, I'm ready to make my shahida. How can you take a shahida, bear witness, when they have not witnessed anything? Al-Islam is not the blind faith. You must use your rational faculty. The invitation to Al-Islam is not an invitation to blind faith. You must use your rational faculties. You must set and think while you are hearing a call to Al-Islam. And you must reason and decide with your own tools of intelligence that, yes, this makes the better sense. It makes good sense that God is one who created everything. So I bear witness that there is but one God and that Muhammad is the messenger of God. So this religion came to invite people to the path of God. It is not for the spiritually drunk, those who accept faith blindly. God says to the Muslim in the Quran, you are the best of people evolved for mankind, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in God. Not only have the Muslim been told to promote the good, but God's prophets specifically points out to us the same thing. He said, it is not one of us who does not show mercy to our young ones and respect to our old one, who does not recommend what is decent, reputable, and prohibited, what is indecent and disreputable. So from the above, we see God and his prophets' prayers and the peace be upon him telling us that we are to promote all that is good and we are to resist all that is bad. So that is the community of people of God that God wants. So that is the requirement. If we accept to be the community of El-Islam, we must accept promoting the highest standards of personal and community excellence. We must be people prohibiting and resisting wrong, indecency, falsehood, corruption, vulgarity, ignorance, decency, greed, malice, ill will, hatred, all of those negative things that cause deterioration, degradation, regression in the life of man and society. We must be a community that rejects those things that are offensive to the good taste of the civilized man and offend the conscience of the honest and the sincere person. So if we are really Muslim, we have to be an active and not a passive community. We are not a call of sheep, dreamers, or spacewalkers. The Muslim is called by God to be an active community. As a Muslim, you have to register concerns of those around you. You must be concerned with whether they are being mistreated or suffering the burden of their own ignorance. If they need to be enlightened, you are obligated to enlighten them. You must also ask yourself questions such as, are they without human sense? For what reason do they have nothing but a life of dependency? If they are your Muslim brothers and sisters, and you are a business wise, it is your obligation to enlighten them. You must also be concerned if those around you are giving themselves to wild and injurious kinds of influence in the Western culture. If you are aware of those dangerous or damaging injuries, influences, and you see them giving themselves to those influences, then you are rise to the challenge. The Muslim is obligated to stand up and meet the challenge from those things that will work to take us out of the excellent form and excellent future God intended for his creature. Muslims are protesters. When we give our declaration of faith, Kalima, we are giving it as a protester. Or we could affirm and just say, God is one, God. But no, we first say La in Arabic, which means no. That is in itself is a protest. We not only say that God is one God, but we say no God but God. That carries a message of one who is protesting. So many of us are afraid to get in the moral army to fight for moral excellence in our immediate surrounding. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better education. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better living conditions in our neighborhood. Many of us are afraid to get in the army of protest by the consumer against those who ignore this humanity. Treat man as though he is a vile animal, selling him inferior merchandise at high prices. When God is our greatest love, and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates, That is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. Many of us fail to get in the army of law-abiding citizens when we see moral violators all around us, such as thieves and shoplifters and vandals. Many of us live with these things without a burden on our conscience. If you can tolerate those things, you are not the Muslim community that God wants. A Muslim community must rise up to the challenge and meet the challenge. God has obligated us to go against and resist all that is bad. We are to insist upon what is good, what is excellent, and we are to prohibit what is wrong, bad, or degrading. We cannot claim to be Muslims if we are not willing to wear that principle and bear that responsibility. For God says, if you fail, I will rise up another people, and they will not fear the accusation, the criticism of those who criticize. Many of us cannot accept being unpopular. We say to ourselves, oh, God knows my heart, but if I go all the way with this religion, I'm going to be unpopular with my associates. Well, if that is the way you feel and think, then you are not the one to carry out that great responsibility God has placed upon the Muslim of advancing right and resisting wrong. Those who carry out that responsibility must first be strong enough not to be dispirited, hurt, checked, or made weak by the fear of being unpopular. We cannot be strong if we worry about being unpopular, when God is our greatest love and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates. That is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. It is a requirement for the Muslim to obey the will of God and to plead and to please him of what he has asked of us. That is the real Muslim. That is what it means when we say a Muslim is one yielding to the will, yielding the spirit to God. It means that you live most of all to satisfy what God has required of you. You live to meet God's demand and not to expectations of the people, if the expectations are against what God has asked of you. Many of us are falling short in living the life of a Muslim as a follower of Prophet Muhammad. Many have fallen short because they just don't know. Therefore, it is an obligation on those who know to bring the message clearly to the people. That obligation was on our Prophet, and he informed us that the same obligation or burden is on those who follow him. God says to us in the Quran, O you who believe, bow down and prostrate yourself and adorn your Lord and do good that you may prosper and strive in his cause as you ought to strive with sincerity and discipline. He has chosen you and has imposed no difficulty on you in religion. It was the faith of your father Abraham. It is he who named you Muslim, both in before and in this revelation, that the messenger may be a witness for you, and you be a witness for mankind. From the above verse, we see that the prophet will be a witness for us before God, and we are a witness before God with the people. If we carry out our responsibility, then when we are before God, we will be a witness and say, God, those people had no excuse for what they did and for the path they took. We lived true to our religion amongst them. God didn't say that the prophet and his followers are witnesses to Muslims only. He said that we are witnesses to people, meaning all people, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. It is also an obligation on the Muslim to warn their near relatives. The Holy Quran says, and warn your near kinsmen. Then if they disobey you, say, I am free of the responsibility for what you do. Conversion to Islam was by good conduct. Father Kullahu Gadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means that it pleases Allah. Tomorrow, our beloved brother is Imam Musa Abui, the great-grandson of the Honorable Booker T. Washington. He's a scholar, a writer of books, and a teacher. So we encourage you to turn him on. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.